Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We hope you are weather aware, because we are, because we will not be at Twin Peaks tomorrow in Kennesaw. As Mike said, we'll be back up there at another time, but we want to make sure everybody's safe. Hey, we start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man! It is good to have you listening. Our man Tinker's out here hanging out with us. A couple of your friends as well, Mike.
Yeah, man. Carasillo's over here, man, living a life of leisure. This guy hasn't had a job in a year, but he's loving life. Hasselhoff's over here. Johnny Mathis in the back. What's up, superstar? What's up, playboy? Yeah, man, everybody's having a good time. So come on down and join the party at Twin Peaks.
All right, guys. We're going to get into some of these Terry Fontenot comments. If you missed Alex Anthopoulos, we just got an update on the Braves, which is good. Spring training about 5 or so weeks away. Pitchers and catchers reporting, and we were just talking amongst ourselves, Turtle and Mike and I, Big O's back at the studio, we did learn, and I say this, about this fifth starter situation, Mike. I always tell you guys, like, what the starter situation is at the beginning of the season is not what it's going to be at the end. That's my experience of covering baseball, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't matter.
Right.
And so with losing Max Fried and Charlie Morton, okay, so where are we going? And Alex Anthopoulos said, well, there's a couple of guys that are going to, you know, compete for this. But, dude,
well, remember,
Ian Anderson's got got to blink or get off the pot.
We thought Ian Anderson was going to be ready to go at the end of August last year. Remember that?
Yep.
And everybody kept asking, well, he's playing in Gwinnett. He's actually having, you know, some good, some bad, up and down. He never made it to the roster last year. Grant Holmes certainly looks great. You know, eastbound and down, right? Our own Kenny Powers.
That's right.
So that'll be basically your fifth spot. Now, I would love to have seen him do more in the winter league. I should say during the winter in the hot stove league, but it just wasn't really forthcoming. They were never going to re-sign Max Fried for the money that the Yankees gave him. We knew that, and now we know we're not going to exactly expect to see Acuna and Strider when they break camp in Northport. So, a lot of question marks. Is going to be the skipper's last year. You know?
Yeah, no doubt, man. We'll talk more about it as we get closer. But good stuff from Alex to kind of fill in the blanks. Let's talk about our other general manager. And that is Terry Fontenot. Anything jump out to you in the comments today as we've been discussing?
Look, I've been going round and round with the audience about it, because the thing he said, which the audience is taking as gospel, is that Kirk Cousins is going to be our backup.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Guys, he's not going to be here. And I get it. It's a $40 million cap hit now, and it's $25 million next year. And, yes, you could argue that, well, wouldn't it be better to have a good, sturdy backup, and even if you do have to pay him $45 million?
No.
That's not how it's going to work, guys. We've gone round and round on this. I had another guy just tell me, well, Russell Wilson, they didn't want Russell Wilson ever. But they still would have taken a trade for him. Nobody would trade for him. He had a better season than Kirk Cousins. No one is trading for Kirk Cousins because no one even knows what the hell happened to Kirk Cousins. I mean, we love the guy. The wheels fell off, and now we're stuck. So, yes, I mean, if we're going to have the world's most expensive backup quarterback, I guess that is an option. But I just think at the end of the day, they'll find some way to get him off the roster. But the hit is the hit. There's really no way to get around it, Carl.
So let's hear from Terry Fontenot. Big O talking about, you know, the comment that Mike's mentioning, comfortable with Cousins as a backup. I think it was not the phrasing he wanted. That's my guess. When he was asked about it later in the press conference, he said, look, we were comfortable with making the decision to go get him. I don't think, you know, obviously we're comfortable with what this is, but he didn't say that. Here's what he did say.
Yes, so, you know, when we gave Kirk Cousins 2 years guaranteed, so when you do that, you expect to get high-level quarterback play for two seasons. We understand that didn't happen. Nobody's was happy to make the switch at that time, and we wanted to, again, to get that high-level quarterback play for two seasons. So now what happens is we had to accelerate that plan and go to Mike earlier. And yet we're the allocation at the quarterback position, the cap allocation is we're eighth in the league. That's what we had planned for, where Kirk is the starter. He's not the starter anymore, but we're very comfortable moving forward with him as a backup. He's handled himself extremely well through the entire process from start to finish, from when he came in the building. And, you know, in these adverse situations, that's when you show your true character. Kirk's a great man, and he's been great support for Mike, a great teammate, great support for everybody in the building. So we're very comfortable moving forward with him as the backup.
So, okay. So Kirk's going to play in the preseason games. You're going to showcase him, and then somebody gets hurt, and a team trades for Kirk. A team trades with us, they take on that salary, guys. That's the rub. That's the rub. If you want Kirk Cousins, you wait for us to get rid of him. And Kirk, Terry was never going to say, yeah, guys, we're going to cut Kirk Cousins. No, he's presenting this at, almost like you're marketing a car or whatever. You know, it is what it is, guys. I'm telling you right now, Kirk Cousins will not be on this roster in week one. And you want to keep your receipts on me? Knock yourself out. You feel different?
No. I just feel like this is a situation where it's also okay to say we took a big swing. And we missed. And it's no fault of Terry's. I said this.
Right.
The fact that Kirk Cousins fell apart and failed this football team the way he did over that five-week period is not on Terry Fontenot. Terry Fontenot's job was to bring in a guy who could potentially play and get it done for you.
Now, we could debate whether the logic of if you love a certain player so much and he showed in a small sample size that he looks like he belongs in the NFL and Michael Penix Jr., to just have the faith in your scouts – take him and allocate that money to the defense, which came back to bite us in so many games this year. But again, that's water under the bridge.
It is.
I would have said if I was Terry, look, when we were 6-3 and certainly in the driver's seat, that we in a million years would not have foreseen Kirk Cousins' fall from grace.
Well, I just
and feel, be respectful of Kirk, but it is what it is.
I just feel like you can say we took a swing and we missed and we're
right.
moving on.
Right.
It's okay. It's okay. Like, everybody knows it. But to your point about, like, this is some secret and, like, nobody around the league talks and, like, all of a sudden we're going to pull the wool over some GM's eyes.
Right.
It's not happening. Trust me on this.
Right. No one even knows what happened. We still here in Atlanta, and Carl talks to more guys than I do. We talk to everybody. Nobody knows what the hell happened to Kirk Cousins. It can't be physical because it has to be on the injury report, and then it's some kind of psychological thing.
They said today, and this is something else that Terry Fontenot said, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and we're going to play more of this as we continue this hour because I think it's important. We told you it's an important press conference because we needed to hear answers. I will tell you, Terry did take blame. There was accountability. I accept that. As a fan, I'm like, cool. All I want to know now is where we're going and how we get better, and there's a lot of evaluating that's going on. But to the Cousins thing, he said he was healthy today. Asked numerous times in you know, succession, Mike.
Right.
Was Cousins, was he hurt? No, he was not hurt. You're telling us he was healthy? Yes, he was healthy. Okay, so that takes that off the table. I always tell you guys this, and you don't have to believe it or not, but when the team tells you that, right, because if they lied and it comes out later, then we'll kill them. But the fact is,
right.
They're telling us he was healthy. So I have to accept that and say that is what they're telling us. They are in the know. They know more than we do. Great. He's healthy. So what the hell happened? That I do not know.
Shout out real quick to our own Joe Patrick, by the way, who was the one
who
that asked and then pressed repeatedly on Terry to try to get that answer. So good
call.
By Joe.
Yeah, good call, Turtle. And there was a lot of that today. All right, Big O, real quick, I want you to play, if you would, Terry talking about the cap situation, because this is the other part, and I've been arguing with Turtle, and, you know, we go at it. He's the executive producer of this show. We argue all the time. But I've been saying you can't look at this as like it's not a big deal. When you take money off the table, if I took money out of your bank account and said you can't touch that,
right?
You can't spend that money even though you're like, well, you know what, I just bought that new car, and it's like, it's just like me paying for this new car. You can't substitute that thing. So here's what he said about the cap situation, and somebody said, does this feel like Matt Ryan all over again? Here's his answer.
Well that's what we planned for. You know, completely different situations, but I know Kirk's the backup now, but we plan to have that cap allocation at that position with him as the starter, and so now it's been flipped, and now he's the backup, and obviously Mike is the starter now, but we believe we're going to get high-level quarterback play. So completely different situations, I would say, Allison, but we're comfortable where we are, and now we have to make sure that we can be creative and find ways to build this team the right way.
Mike, allocation and production are two different things. Allocation is, I have budgeted for this.
Right.
But what production are you getting for the money you're spending? You're not getting anything if, in fact, he is your backup, which I'm still reluctant to believe that is ultimately going to happen. We can talk about allocation, but nobody in the National Football League has a $40 million backup quarterback.
Right. So what he's going to say is when we signed Cousins, you know, even though we never knew, you guys never knew I was going to draft Penix, is the quarterback position as a whole is $45 million plus the rookie deal for Pettis. And that's what we've allocated. Okay. And that's top 10 for
right.
eighth.
That's right.
So, I mean, it's okay. I mean, I think there's some CPAs out there going, right on, Terry. You know, but it just, it's at the end of the day, it just doesn't wash. That's why, as I said a million times, it was the stupidest freaking thing a general manager has ever done in this league. And everyone outside of 285 understands it. If you love Penix, you move up to get him, you make him your guy, and you spend that money on the defense that can't get the quarterback on the ground. So here we are, but that's true. Technically, if Michael Penix plays like a Pro Bowler, he would be worth $45 million, considering the top quarterbacks are getting 55 to 60. How's that?
It's fine. Meanwhile, you show me another bench guy that's making that money. Allocation and production are two different things.
Right. And by the way, if Kirk Cousins, here's the thing: how do we know Kirk Cousins doesn't say, "I don't accept the backup role"?
Well,
he's telling you he's told you we're comfortable with Kirk as a backup. We still haven't heard from Kirk.
No, and
that's what I try to explain to the audience.
And by the way, and I get it. Wow, this brother at the bar looks like Michael Penix, doesn't he? I mean, it's not. Don't rush.
And
down
by the
here.
Way, and by the way, I want
this brother at the bar look Michael Penix.
Hey, man,
let me see if he look.
What's up, Joe?
Look like Michael Penix over there. He's like, whoa. No,
by the way, and I want to apologize to my man. I said Johnny Mathis. That is much more Sam Cook.
No, I agree with that.
It's much more Sam Cook right there. My man.
But to your point.
And there's Hugh. Look, there's Hugh Douglas's bro.
To your point. That's not right.
What's up, man?
He has a no trade. We're going to talk more about this. Right. We'll let you hear more of Terry Fontenot. How does he fix the defense? What does he think about the coup situation? And what did he say about Kyle Pitts today? Stay there. We're going to get to all of that. But the no trade allows Kirk to say, I don't want to go there. And understand he will have the final say, regardless of what the Falcons right. want to do or where they might want to send him.
But a team is going to wait for you to just simply release him. Guys, do you think the Denver Broncos didn't try to trade Russell Wilson? They did, and they couldn't take any takers. And the Steelers swooped him up for $1.2 million. Yeah. And the Broncos paid his guaranteed money.
All right, we're coming back. More on Terry Fontenot today, answering a bunch of questions up there at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. Appreciate all the feedback, and it's funny because everybody's like, well, you know, or not everybody, some people. The Cousins thing is inconsequential as far as us moving forward. No, it's not. It's still going to affect the team and how we do business, but it is something that I think we all want answers to. Like, we go through life sometimes, and you have these mysteries, Mike, and you're like, man, what happened? Like, how did that happen? It's nice to get answers if you can. And so that's kind of what we're searching for through some of this stuff with Terry Fontenot today as we'll continue to play some of his sound bites.
And just real quick, because I saved me a lot of carpal tunnel getting on my laptop here. When you go back and you can search, guys, all the pre-draft stuff, and yes, there's always misinformation and there's guys that will say one thing about one player, this and that. I get all that. But Michael Penix Jr. in no mock drafts was going anywhere in the top six. And the other thing is, guys, if we don't sign Kirk Cousins, we would have then been in play for Bo Nix. We would have been in play for anyone that wasn't Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams and or Drake May, potentially. All those guys we would have visited. All those guys we would have certainly been in play for. And there might have been a perception we were going to go one guy or the other. But if Terry really, truly loved Michael Penix Jr., Carl, the worst-case scenario is if the Raiders, and we spoke to a guy that covered the Raiders, is they were scared by the medicals on Michael Penix Jr. Just one writer doesn't speak for the Raiders organization. Not sure if Telesco was in on him or not. Who got fired today, by the way? Their GM is out. But point I'm getting to, guys, is there was still a way, if Penix were you earmarked as that guy, you could have found him if you had to move up to two spots to the Giants. That's all you had to do. And if he's the guy you want, then you do give a second-round pick. You do give whatever you got if you feel he's that guy. And I can all live with that. But one or the other. And now we find ourselves in the strangest of scenarios, which, of course, no one would have foresaw Cousins looking as bad as he did after he looked as good as he did this year.
Yeah, that's part of the mystery. All right, let's hear Terry Fontenot talking about pass rush. It's been our Achilles heel. We got better second half of the season. After the bye week, to be quite honest with you, the numbers, you know, started to accumulate 3-4 sacks seemingly every week. But as I've said, we don't have that guy. We don't have a guy that teams game plan for. Here's Terry Fontenot talking about and owning that we need to get better in this area.
We started off and we were last in the league first 9 games of the season. And then after the bye, significant jump in pass rush with we were second in the league and over that span following the bye. And, you know, specifically with Arnold Ebukadi, he was top 5 in sacks down the stretch. Caden Ellis had an unbelievable year, and he led the league in pass rush rate. And so we have pressure. We have pressure players. We have to add to that. So we showed ability. We showed improvement in that area, but that's definitely needs to be an area that we continue to improve.
All right. With all due respect to Terry on that one, I mean, what? Since after the bye week, we were the second best team. Again, we still finished second to last in sacks.
Mike, it wasn't last.
Okay, well, you know, if you want to look at, again, we do love where Ebikadi is, and six is great, you know, tied with Vaughn Miller with Buffalo, but that's 50th in the league.
Mike, it wasn't last.
But, I mean, it's just you can manipulate the numbers to your argument, but after the bye week, and I remember I even asked Terry on last Thursday, hey, man, reports are you get more involved in the defense. I'm involved in every aspect. Okay. Take that one. Claim
Raw,
it.
You talking about Raw?
I said I did that last week. Not Terry. Raheem Morris claimed. No, there was a report from Ian Rappaport that Raheem Morris was more involved with the defense. And, hey, own that. And maybe that means that Jimmy Lake wasn't doing something you were able to fix. By the way, nothing about Jimmy Lake today in the press conference. Sounds like no movement, at least anytime soon, if anyone was going to get got on the staff.
Let's hear just that soundbite talking about, does he expect any coaching changes, Big O? It's Dukes and Bell Sports, 92.9 The Game. He was asked that question. Are there going to be changes? This is Terry Fontenot.
We just have to, again, we're in those conversations. That's a normal part of the process where you win a lot or lose a lot. That's just a normal part of it, and we're right in the midst of those conversations.
That's a no. I mean, that's what I think. I think it's a no. I think the evaluation process is, first of all, owning up to ownership. Some people screwed up, right? I screwed up here. That's including coaching, whatever. We made mistakes on personnel, which you have to acknowledge. And then you keep it moving. I know a lot of people have said, hey, it is rare, even though we've seen it. I mean, we've seen it this year where head coaches have lost their gig after one season. Gerard Mayo, who was handpicked by the owner, lost his gig. But do you want to continue to do that year in and year out? And that's why I felt like Ra was safe. I did not know, Mike, whether Jimmy Lake would be gone because I thought the performance at the end of the season was an embarrassment. I really
yes,
did.
I mean, think about the Minnesota game. You got corners literally flopping on the ground like salmon. You know, you look at that, the sequence where you see the touchdown pass from Bryce Young where there's not even a Falcon player in the picture. You know, we basically, they went right down the field in overtime. I was like, we weren't even there. If I was Arthur Blank, I would be asking serious questions of my general manager coach, except what's up with our defense? And Jimmy Lake might not be up to the task. And if Raheem, you know, he pulled like a Dan Quinn in 16 and got more involved, and out of respect to Jimmy Lake, he's not going to say he pulled rank and made some moves. I guess we certainly saw more pass rush, but then the timing was the key. We got more sacks, but then we never got teams off the ground or off the field on third down.
Yep.
So, look, this team has a defense that doesn't do a good job of getting the quarterback on the ground. Ebikadi is a solid piece, no debating that. But he still hasn't lived up to being a second-round pick, or has he, in your mind?
I do think the last two seasons we've seen him live up to it. Has he been a double-digit sack guy? The answer is no. But
he was always that second tier in that edge rush class. And six. So if you do by the numbers, six sacks is it's okay then, I guess.
Yeah, no, look.
But you need a fire breather on the opposite end.
I think he's been fine. I think over the last 2 years, his development has come along. There are guys who haven't developed in 4 years. He is at least contributing to your team in a way that affects winning. That I can accept. I can't say that about Kyle Pitts. So, I mean, we can talk about various guys on this team. I'm okay with Arnold Ebikadi. But as I said yesterday, we need more people. 404-726-0929.
Carl, am I need more people.
You guys,
that's it.
You guys are making such a good point about the sacks. Guys, we didn't touch Bryce Young in the last game.
Not once.
You didn't touch him.
Not once.
So, yeah, the contributions were great leading up to that point. But when you were in a virtual playoff game with your season on the line, you didn't get one.
And that's disturbing.
So how much of that is empty?
That's
correct.
That's disturbing.
That's it. I mean, that's when I heard that number when he was throwing those numbers out there. Like, come on, it's just that's not telling the story. We're still one of the most anemic pass rushes in the league.
What about the Judon and Simmons moves, guys?
Give him credit. He tried.
He tried.
You can say, certainly at the time, who would have thought that Judon was going to just basically be up and down at best and ineffective?
Here's Terry Fontenot talking about Judon and Simmons. And let's be honest, we thought they would take our defense to the next level. That was why we were so excited about it. Not so much now. Here's Terry.
When you do that, when you add players at that point in their career then we're looking at, for us to make those decisions, we're saying, okay, we're in position to win the division and to make a run in the playoffs. And the fact that we're not in the playoffs, then we're not happy with the result of those decisions. That's just natural. That's not saying anything against either one of those players specifically, Matt or Justin, or anything. I'm not saying anything negative about the coaching staff or anything, but when you make those decisions, we believe that's going to be a tipping point for us, and it wasn't.
It was not. Again, right. If you ask me going into next season, let's just say we're in July, right before camp. We got a chance to add a couple of pieces that we think are going to help the defense. I'm always going to say for the general manager, go do it. Like, if you feel like – I don't think there's anybody that follows football that would have been like, man, the defense is a little anemic in these areas. Let's not do that. Everybody in their right mind said, let's go do that. It didn't cost us a whole lot, but ultimately didn't pay off the way we thought it would.
Right. Jonathan Grenard, who went to Minnesota, that would have been a nice piece. If you couldn't get Danielle Hunter, there were so many edge rushes we talked about in free agency, but we decided to go for two quarterbacks. So this is what you get. You the third-round pick, which now this year we need to really – you know, if you want to move up, you don't have equity in the draft to do that, with at least with this class. We don't have a third-round pick. We're missing a sixth-rounder, too, right? Is that correct? So, or is it a fifth-rounder? Either way, we don't have the full arsenal this year in the draft. We're picking 15th. We have gotten some impact players, both on offense and defense. Lindstrom was, 14th, and A.J. Terrell was 16th. So there's always a chance if you earmark a guy. Carl, it's way too early to know where the edge rushers are going to be.
Yep.
But there's a lot of teams already mock drafts. Guys are saying, well, Pierce from Tennessee or Michael Williams. It's way too early, guys. Way too early.
Yeah, and I also think the way you gain picks, and we've seen it, is you got to move back, right? I mean, that's the reality. So maybe we're not picking 15th. Maybe we're picking in the late 20s, and you gain a third-round pick in that process while you're switching. That's all possible, but guess what? It's January. I mean, like, right now, I'm still PO'd about how this season ended and wanting answers, which is why I thought this was so important today for him to answer some of this stuff, and he did. He answered some. I don't know if we're ever going to get the full answers, Mike, on some of the stuff we've been talking about.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, and I know we've covered this a million times, nobody ever in a million years would have thought Cousins would have gone from where he was, you know, when we were 6-3 to where things were at that. That's the thing. You guys are telling me there's going to be a market for Kirk Cousins. You're going to look at that Raider film.
Yep.
And you're going to go, that was awful. It didn't even look like a veteran quarterback. It looked as bad as the rookie or the second-year starter, Desmond Ridder. He was playing in that game in Vegas that night. So if you trade for – guys are coming up with us on the text line and on social media. They keep saying, well, we can trade him. Anybody who trades for him has to pay – picks up the tab.
There's still cap ramifications. He's legit.
There's cap ramifications for us. But if you've traded for Kirk Cousins, you've got to have $45 million in cap space. That's the facts, Jack. So teams will wait for Kirk Cousins to maybe force the Falcons' hand, say, I'm not accepting a backup role, and then either you release him, and we'll have to take it in the shorts. $40 million this year, $25 million next year in dead cap.
All right, we got more to get to, including news that broke today on the show about Georgia and the quarterback situation. Stay there, we'll tell you about it next.
I am calling Turtle. Carson Beckerbum.
We get the first of two playoff games tonight. One game tonight, obviously the Orange Bowl, Penn State, Notre Dame, and then we get Ohio State and the University of Texas. That game's going to happen tomorrow. In Dallas, we talked about it yesterday. This storm is blowing through.
You see some of the videos of the roads and the highways?
Buddies have sent me pictures of this is what I'm looking at right now, and again, they're not used to that. So the ice, the snow, people are out, but it's like, you shouldn't be. Nevertheless, they have not moved the time of that game tomorrow. It looks like, Mike, they're going to continue to play that game regular time. Tonight, no issues down in Florida, right?
Nope, at the Hard Rock, they're ready to rock. The question, though, it's about the running back, and I saw something earlier about Abdul Carter's injury, and that's a big one. Certainly, defensive end, I should say, for Penn State, because getting after Riley Leonard and what they're trying to do, and he's out. So, Chris, go ahead. You can speak.
Game time decision.
There you go. Because Penn State, I just think, as much as we're kind of conditioned, like you and I were joking around about the Notre Dame predisposition, you think of Brian Kelly's teams that can't be clutch, and Marcus Freeman's teams are physical, it's a different animal. But in the case of Penn State, I think, could Franklin get this thing going. Yes, they can beat Notre Dame.
If
they play like they did against Oregon in that and that Big Ten championship game, which they lost, I think certainly they could beat Notre Dame.
Yeah, I like Penn State tonight to cover, which is basically a pick 'em. It's one. But nevertheless, Marcus Freeman does recognize where he's at. And meaning it's not just Notre Dame. Mike, it's been a long time since we've been talking about them being in this position to potentially play for another national championship. And so he's got some pressure on him. I mean, like, yes, they get this built-in thing. I don't think any of us like, hey, they don't have to play a conference championship game. Right. And, yeah, we still –
Franklin even joked around at the press conference yesterday about it.
Well, you know, you still get to get in, and I'm with Franklin. Either everybody has to play one or that's not – that shouldn't be the case. But Notre Dame still gets in.
Right.
But Marcus Freeman – when he got the job, a lot of people said he's too young. He's not ready, right? He was the defensive coordinator for Brian Kelly. Kelly tried to take him to LSU, and once he found out that that job was open and he could possibly get it, he was like, oh, Brian, I'm going to stay. And Kelly was like, cool, I get it, I understand. But this is a big spot for
and that
Marcus
video,
Freeman.
The video of the players, that's the thing, because we all know what's happened at LSU, and we found out, because we don't follow Notre Dame as closely as others, that how Brian Kelly alienates a lot of folks on the staff, the players, alumni, and you've seen it already start to creep into in the culture at LSU. People are like, I'm over this guy. And when Marcus Freeman, it was announced, you saw that video where the locker room just erupts.
Yeah.
And they love playing for this guy, and they play with passion. The question I have, though, can they match? If Drew Allar is playing like he did down the stretch, when he's healthy, can they match if they get into a scoring matchup, or you feel Notre Dame's going to drop the hammer the way they did against Georgia,
so,
and they're going to be living in Penn State's backfield? I think Penn State's offensive line is better than Georgia's.
I think Penn State's defensive front is as good as anybody in the country. They're going to have two guys in the first round of the draft here coming out. I like Penn State. Doesn't mean that Notre Dame won't win. But, Mike, I also think for James Franklin on the other side of this, and then we're going to tell you about Georgia coming up here on Dukes and Bell. He might, you know what? He's been there 11 years. Now you're in basically the semifinals, right?
This is as far as you've ever gotten other than your one Rose Bowl win.
And if he doesn't get there, like, I kind of think he, you know, people say, well, he overachieved. Penn State fans have been so down that, like, this is already the accomplishment. If he loses tonight, and I'm talking about Penn State, and they lose to Notre Dame, it's almost like, man, we got here. Thank goodness, you know, we fought. Like, no, the goal should be a championship. But Franklin and Penn State fans have been killing him for so long for not being able to win these big games.
Right.
I think there's a lot of pressure on him. I just do. I mean, like, here's your shot. This is your chance to get it done. Show Penn State Nation you can get it
done. And you're not playing the Georgia Bulldogs. You know, whatever you thought, whatever Georgia fans felt Georgia was or wasn't this year, I think the perception nationally is that Georgia would have been a tougher matchup for Penn State than Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Despite how good Notre Dame's defense looked in the Sugar Bowl. Yeah, by the way, here's another stat I found for Drew Allar. One and a half passing touchdowns, the over on that. It's plus 135.
That's a good bet.
I like that number. Yeah. For those who don't follow, basically, you're going to bet 100 to 135.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet because I do think he'll have more than one touchdown. Basically, you're saying
do you think the over and the under, you think it's going to be high scoring, low scoring?
What's the number?
Right now, Chris, it is at
the over-under number?
Apologize. Get back on my computer while we talk about this.
Yeah, because I looked at the spread because I thought it was a little bit bigger, but it's not.
45 and a half.
Yeah, I was going to say 44. 45 and a half.
Got to tell you guys, both of these defenses are good. That's what that is. And we've already seen it, right, with Notre Dame.
Dame's even on the money line, by the way.
Yeah, right. See? There you go. Yeah, I think, Mike.
I don't think the nation trusts Franklin.
And why would they? That's what I'm saying. This is a big spot for him. Like, to say, hey, we got here is one thing. What are you going to do
now? Remember that the red zone ineptitude against Ohio State when they had the Buckeyes
and
in Happy Valley?
No creativity.
Right.
Zero. And they hired a new
offensive coordinator. Let's run it up the middle to the left. Run up the middle. You're right. I don't want to be prisoner of the moment because Georgia lost to the Irish, but yeah, maybe you got me leaning towards the Irish minus one.
Notre Dame
if they
is good.
Can get their running game it's established good. Early, I think, Mike, you may be onto something.
But then again, is Leonard going to be able to deliver the ball? If you're going to lean on him because, like, 90 – it's still amazing if you told any Georgia fan that Notre Dame is going to throw for under 100 yards and win. It's insane.
All right, here's the deal, dog fans. And if you're just tuning in, you're
listen
like,
to this.
Yeah, you're like, what are you guys talking about with this Georgia news? Carson Beck has entered the transfer portal. I know you're saying, wait a minute, I thought he was going to the draft. He was. He changed his mind. Various reasons as to why he changed his mind, but he is not going to return to Georgia. And I think that was probably the biggest shocker is, okay, I'm coming back to Georgia. Mike, we had our buddy on, and you'll hear our interview with him coming up here in less than 15 minutes in Rusty Manziel. Beckett previously announced he would enter the 2025 draft. Then declaring and now entering the portal. He's coming off of that UCL injury. The timetable on this, the throwing, all of this stuff came into this equation.
Yeah, I felt that, you know, you and I talked about it. How are you ever going to get ready for the combine, the timeline, then the individual workouts? Of course, the pro day would have been at Georgia. And then have any kind of evaluation. Not to mention, you maybe went backwards from it. You might have looked better your first year at Georgia, despite all the touchdowns he threw for. The game against Alabama, where he was a turnover machine. The Texas game, which Georgia found a way to win, despite the fact he was just turning it over every other series. Yes, the receivers dropped a ton of passes. There are those variables. I just felt he was never going to be a first-round pick.
Yeah.
But after the loss to Alabama, I thought that really killed it. So now you could go down to Miami, which everyone, including Pete Thamel, Chris, I will give Turtle credit. I think Chris, Turtle, you broke this. Chris was looking at the social media, knowing that his smoking hot girlfriend plays basketball at Miami. They even wind up with the U. But Cam Ward moves on to the draft. They said anywhere from the first to the third. Well, that's kind of nebulous. I would think, Carl, coming off an arm injury and you can't work out, you're a late second rounder at best.
Carson has the tools. I don't think I would want to go into the draft with that kind of uncertainty. There are a lot of guys who do, but not having the hype and expectation coming into the season that he had. And guys, he won a lot at Georgia. Let's not get it twisted. 24-3. That's right. A hell of a record. He threw for a lot of yards, over 7,000 yards in his career. And for those who are saying, wait a minute, I didn't even know he had another year of eligibility, he did. But we really hadn't talked about it because once he said, I'm not coming back, we thought he was going to the draft. But he does have another year, Mike. Cam Ward did this. We've talked about other quarterbacks. You know, from this particular situation where, hey, I'm going to NFL and then I'm not. I think we're going to see more guys do this now with the way the rules are.
Right. And I think he can certainly have a good, you know, a 35-plus touchdowns in Miami based on what Cam Ward did. He can move the – you know, we always talked about Gunnar Stockton. He's mobile. We know Carson Beck can move. But you're right. The scouts were never going to – you're never going to be a first-rounder coming off the injury. So you get – and by the way, great way to do it. Get back into the first round and make $3 to $5 million while you're doing it. It's down to Miami. Because you know they got that NIL.
Yeah. It's interesting. What's it mean for Georgia's quarterback room?
Gunnar Stockton is there. We know Ryan Puglisi is there. Jaden Rashada, as we said, shocking, has left the program. We had Rusty Manziel. You're going to hear our conversation with Rusty Manziel in the 6 o'clock hour about Carson Beck, about the depth. I asked him about Stacey Searles and the offensive line. They're going to replace 4 guys off this offensive line this year. George, I mean, it's
But they are loaded. This incoming recruiting class,
right?
They are big. This is the class we were talking about last fall when we said, man, they're going to have the biggest offensive line in college football, blah, blah, blah. A lot of those guys are coming in this class.
The Georgia Bulldogs have a great quarterback, Rusty will tell you about, for 2026 cycle. But right now it's Gunnar Stockton. And you know Kirby always goes with the incumbent and rolls with it, unless there's an injury.
I am not mad necessarily at Carson Beck because of the circumstances, and the rules allow it. But I am a little bit surprised. And as I said when the news broke today, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Did you not want to come back to Georgia?
What do you think the conversation was with Kirby? Could, 2 ways of looking at it. Talking to Georgia fans on the text line, a lot of guys are feeling, well, Miami just backed up the Brinks truck. Yes, certainly that's possible. But do you feel there was some, I don't know, some Carson Beck fatigue with Kirby and the coaching staff?
It's potential. I mean, potentially that is true. There's no debating it. And here's the other part. Maybe we just don't know this. They see him every day, Mike. Maybe Gunnar Stockton, they just feel better about where that's headed.
Right.
And if you do, and you have the incumbent quarterback coming off of this injury, it is easier to cut bait and say, hey, Carson, we wish you luck. Go do what you need to do, but this is our guy. And be honest with him, which I'm sure they were, which is why he made the decision.
Because what are you going to do? You're going to have everybody battle through spring football only to have Carson Beck, when he's healthy, come back and take the job?
Correct.
That's a weird dynamic, too, for that locker room.
Yeah, and you can't promise that.
No, you can't. So, you know, it's a win-win. If you believe that Gunnar Stockton's the guy, and like, you know me, I'm not a big Bobo fan. Hopefully they do better and figure it out. Run the freaking ball. You got studs at wide receiver coming in. Huge targets for Gunnar Stockton. You know, you got all these weapons they've added. But, yeah, just go down to Miami, make some loot, and it's a win-win. Good for both programs.
No doubt. All right, guys, a couple of other things we do want to mention in the coaching carousel of the National Football League. There are various guys that are interviewing for jobs. But one job that one guy, and he's a hot candidate, is not going to interview for, and that's Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator for the Lions, told the Patriots no. But he is going to talk to the Jets, the Saints, the Raiders, the Jags, and the Bears about their head coaching job. And everybody's kind of speculating, Aaron Glenn, I don't think he likes the Patriots, Mike. I don't think he likes that organization. I don't think it's anything more than that. When you have these opportunities, you interview for them. And just like with the teams who select the guys they want to interview for, you know, Aaron Glenn's like, nah, I'm good. And I don't know. People are laughing at that and saying, why would you turn that interview down? Because he didn't like the organization.
I saw your tweet. So that's basically I'm not going in that direction because it's not – it's you could argue the Patriots may go back to what they were before Belichick got there, which was the exception of that 85 season, a big hot mess.
A hot mess.
Steve Grogan aside, there's not much good things. And John Hanna, there's not a lot of good things happening with the Patriots.
Sure. And I know everybody is saying that this is Vrabel's job. And I think – correct me if I'm wrong, because I think today's Thursday. I think it was today he was supposed to interview – with the Patriots.
He completed his in-person interview today.
Okay. He's not hired yet?
Not yet. So that means they let him leave the building.
Correct. Who knows that situation? Mm. He's in their ring of honor. He's one of their great players that they have honored. Yes, right. They traded him. Belichick traded him. But fact
Belichick
is,
trades everybody other than Brady.
But who knows that better? He left today without the job. People in the industry were telling me if he leaves the building, there's something up. Because he was supposed to go there today. Kraft was, oh, I love you. And he was supposed to get the job, and it should have been announced. That is not what happened. And now you have Aaron Glenn going, nah, I'm good. And people are tripping off of that. Either way, Pete Carroll also interviewed for the Bears job today.
Pete still wants to get in the mix. And the Bears, talk about casting a wide net. What is your evaluation of Ryan Poles? Because people either love this guy or they hate this guy as general manager.
Well, this is going to be his second coach. And if he doesn't get this one right, and he's not the only one making this decision, by the way. Kevin Warren, who's also, the president of that organization.
Former Big Ten commissioner.
He's also involved in this. But a lot of people feel like there's dysfunction. Here's the reason why. How much time we got? A minute? Ryan Poles came out basically and said, if I would have known I had to answer to Kevin Warren,
I wouldn't have taken the job.
And that caused an issue. And now you have those two guys.
Power play.
Who have been tasked with bringing in the new head coach.
And that's why their coaching search makes no sense. When you think Pete Carroll, yeah, you're your freaking mind.
And I don't know behind the scenes if that gets fixed, Mike, but that is what caused the friction. And now you're saying, okay, wait a minute. That's why we keep saying, is that really a good job? They do have some great personnel.
But it's a dysfunctional franchise with a dysfunctional owner and a dysfunctional front office. Speaking of dysfunction, the Raiders let Antonio Pierce speak to the media, and then they fire him. And then a few days later, they fire the general manager, Tom Telesco.
That makes no sense.
A guy that a lot of folks thought was doing some good things in the draft just got decimated with injuries this year.
Yeah, it makes no sense. So
you guys want a good chuckle real quick before we get out of here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Drew Rosenhaus just came out and said, Tyreek Hill is committed to the Dolphins.
You think?
Well, how do you know Drew Rosenhaus is lying? His lips are moving. Yeah. I love how he made this statement like he's going to the transfer portal. You asked for a raise that you didn't even deserve and they gave it to you. You can't just leave.
That's crazy. Either way, lots of stuff going on around the NFL. Hey, if you missed our interview with Alex Anthopoulos, go check it out. Interesting stuff about who the fifth starter is going to be. Guys, spring training is like 5 weeks away. I mean, I know we're in January. I get it. But
I got from Alex that there'll be some action late. It's just going to be one of those years where we're going to be doing stuff when pitchers and catchers report sounds like.
Yeah. So good interview with him and getting us caught up on the Braves today and where they're headed. And he talked about Charlie Morton leaving and all that. All right. When we come back, though, we got a few other things to get to. You'll hear our interview with Rusty Manziel. We're going to talk about what to expect tomorrow. I'm not a meteorologist, but everybody's talking about it, and we will next.